Jeff Passan's a national baseball writer for Yahoo Sports. He joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. He's got a terrific column up on yahoo.com. And it's exactly, Mr. Passan, what I wanted to talk about, which is why we had you on.
Look at that. I feel so good. Anytime I can make you happy, Jeff, it's a good day.
See, that's why I like you, because nobody else takes that approach with me. Nobody else wants to make me happy. They all want to make my life living hell. People don't understand. I'm a happy man, damn it. And they make my life hell. John Lester. I was watching John Lester's last outing, and I'm thinking to myself, why the hell would the Red Sox be in a hurry to get rid of this guy? And more importantly, as your column addresses, why would you insult a guy like this with the type of contract offer they made to him? Can you explain this to me?
Yeah, because they don't want him.
Why?
Because I think they are very afraid of players who are older than 30 years old signing long-term contracts. And you know what? I sort of don't blame him for that. I mean, baseball has turned into this place where the contract structure is entirely backward. The likeliest players to succeed are generally the ones who get paid the least. Mm-hmm. And then you turn around and pay those players for their past performance, when in reality, the chances of their future performance matching it in any way are nil. I mean, there are very, very, very few guys, especially star-level guys, who are as good in their 30s, clean and good in their 30s, mm-hmm. as they were in their 20s. And yet, because of the way that the salary is structured with arbitration and, you know, players taking six full seasons to go to free agency, you've created this system that, I'm not going to call it untenable long term, but if there ever is labor dispute again, if the sides can't agree how to split up the $9 billion baseball is generating annually, it is going to be over the fact that free agency is an inefficient market, and that whoever signs John Lester to the $150 million he is almost certainly going to command may well early on in the deal come to regret it.
Well, I mean, and it's one of the things you point out, you know, there are some deals that John Lester is trying to use as sort of as a guideline. I mean, Zach Greinke's deal, six years, 147, Cole Hamels territory, Homer Bailey's contract. Yeah, you know, the more I think about it, I don't know if I give John Lester that amount of money. But I guess I'm looking at it another way too, Jeff. You know, I've invested money in this guy. I've brought him up through the organization. He's won World Series for me. I've ridden the development curve with all that stuff. At some point, aren't you really sort of taking an asset that you have already invested a lot of money in and just seeing it through to the end?
Let me ask you this, though. Let's say Jeff Blair buys a stock. And
right away, the stock's going to tank.
Yeah, exactly. But let's say, just hypothetically, in this fantasy world, that this stock is a wonderfully performing stock, and that this stock makes you a lot of money, and that you have good times with this stock. And then let's say your daughter is ready to go to college, and you're looking, which is happening fairly soon, frighteningly, isn't it?
Shh. We don't talk about that. Go ahead.
Let's say you are trying to get money back from the stock. And let's look at the stock, and the stock all of a sudden doesn't look as good as it used to.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a tech company, it hasn't come up with something of substance in years. Do you hold on to the stock in hopes that it's going to change its course? Or do you look at the history of such similar stocks and say, you know what, it probably makes sense to get rid of it while I've gotten as much out of it as I can?
Yeah.
And I think that's what the Red Sox are doing. They're looking at John Lester not as a person. They're looking at him as an asset. Because as robotic as that sounds, that's sort of what you have to do these days with baseball players, not to get yourself into a situation. You can't get sentimental. You can't get emotional. Because you know what happens when you do? Ryan Howard.
Ryan Howard happens. That's true. Watching Ryan Howard drop that throw yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just an albatross of a deal. And I don't think that John Lester is going to be an albatross. I think you can argue that John Lester is perhaps a likelier of the 30-somethings pitchers to have staying power. Mm-hmm. He's someone who has been healthy and who has not lost velocity and, who has stayed strong through the wear and tear. But I just think the Red Sox, I don't think they have a whole lot of faith. And I think because of that, they must steal him because it's gotten to the point where whatever goodwill they had with him, I think it's evaporated.
Jeff Passan is a national baseball writer for Yahoo Sports. He joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. So you've got Cole Hamels, David Price, John Lester, Cliff Lee, I guess to a certain degree, and Bartolo Colon among some of the pitchers that may or may not be available on the market. How many of those do you think go? Could you see Tampa trading Price where they are right now?
No, I take it back. I could see Tampa doing anything.
All right.
Tampa's crazy and creative, and I think Andrew Friedman's one of the five best guys out there. But is it as likely as it was a couple weeks ago? Not even close. I thought it was a fait accompli then, but the Rays have started winning. And do you see the Rays rotation right now?
It's scary.
It is good, and it lost Matt Moore to Tommy John. And it's still this good. I mean, Jeremy Hellickson, a good major league pitcher, is going to be pushed out of the rotation when Matt Moore comes back next season. And to have Jake Odorizzi as, a guy who's striking out something in the neighborhood of 11 guys per nine innings as a rookie, to have him as your number five starter, I mean, it's too bad that the Rays just don't have any hitting. And you wonder if they're going to go and take a guy like Alex Cobb, for example, and eventually flip him.
Right.
I mean, that's what they've been able to do. If Will Myers comes back, if they can get a haul for David Price, or if they hold on to him going into the next season, the Rays, either way, I think the Rays are in a very good position.
Do you see teams making one of these big pitchers, and I'm going to call them big pitchers and, in ditto marks, do you see one of these guys going after the deadline? Or if they're not gone by the deadline, are they going to stay with their team for the rest of the year?
I think Cliff Lee and Cole Hamels could be those guys. And by the way, you asked about them. I think Lester goes. I think Price stays. I think Colon stays. And who was the other? Was it Lee or Hamels?
Leanne Hamels. I mean,
Leanne Hamels. Yeah. I think Hamels stays. I think Lee stays. So I think Lester, honestly, is the only big one. There's a chance that the Dodgers go and get one of the non-Lesters. Mm-hmm. I think Lester's market, frankly, is the best out of everyone because he's probably going to be the cheapest. Cliff Lee would not cost nearly as much, I don't think. But Cliff Lee also, do you know how much Cliff Lee has a chance to get paid next year?
It's a lot. It's over $20 million, right?
Not just over $20 million. He's getting $25 as a base salary, and there's an option. If he hits 200 innings and ends the season not on the disabled list with shoulder issues, then he gets a $27.5 million option for, I believe, his age 37 season in 2016. But if he doesn't do that and the team does not trigger that option, there's a $12.5 million buyout, which means that Cliff Lee for one season next year could get paid $37.5 million.
Yikes. Yeah, that's something to think about.
I would say
it's a great. That's a great agent. I call that a great agent.
he got a lot of money late into his 30s, and it's good for him. A $12.5 million buyout is just patently absurd. I mean, it's the type of thing that is going to keep him from getting traded and honestly is going to keep him with this garbage team in Philadelphia that surrounds him right now.
Is there somebody out there, Jeff, that we should keep an eye on? Somebody that, when I say somebody, I'm talking about a player that we may be surprised to see moved?
I think I don't know if this could be a salary neutral thing, but We have to remember that the Blue Jays were very interested in trading for Brett Anderson last offseason. I know that got squelched on the medicals, but when you have a guy who's going to come very cheap prospect-wise and who probably you could get some of the leftover money picked up and who in his last two starts has looked excellent, that's the type of area where I think Alex Anthopoulos can navigate and can do damage. Because if Brett Anderson's healthy, he's really good. He's the type of guy who's going to help you get to the playoffs. And I know if Brett Anderson is healthy is a sentence, a clause that has been uttered many a time only for it to end up with he's not.
Mm-hmm.
But in the annals of low-risk deals, I'd say that's one of the types of areas in which Alex Anthopoulos navigates very smoothly and could be seen to do something.
Jeff, was good of you to join us this morning. Thanks, as always.
Pleasure is always mine, my friend.
We'll be in touch.
Look forward to it.